Hello? Anybody home?
Today, I want you to open your mind.
I've almost come to the conclusion that the story is so damning that the mass of people can't deal with it.
We are in process of developing a whole series of techniques to get people actually to love their servitude.
We face a hostile ideology, global in scope, atheistic in character, ruthless in purpose, and insidious in method.
Well, we are opposed around the world by a monolithic and ruthless conspiracy that relies primarily on covert means for expanding its sphere of influence.
To change the minds and the attitudes and the beliefs of the people to bring about one world socialist totalitarian government.
The potential for the disastrous rise of misplaced power exists.
It has patterned itself after every dictator who has ever planted the ripping imprint of a boot on the pages of history since the beginning of time.
If you can get people to consent to the state of affairs in which they are living, then you have a much more easily controllable society than you would if you were relying wholly on clubs and firing squads and concentration camps.
Tools of conquest do not necessarily come with bombs and explosions and fallout. There are weapons that are simply thoughts, attitudes, prejudices.
As you connect the dots between different people, organizations, religions, history, suddenly the picture starts to form.
The kingdom of God is within man, not one man nor a group of men.
Someone born in the United States is not more special than someone born in Mexico. They're just vehicles for the consciousness to experience.
They do not want your children to be educated. They do not want you to think too much.
It was learned that the aliens had men and were then manipulating masses of people through secret societies, witchcraft, magic, the occult, and religion.
They reach into our children. Music, television, books.
Prey on children's innocence.
How can I disprove lies that are stamped with an official seal?
So if you have the opportunity to stand next to one of these machines, it feels like an altar to an alien god.
Genetic power is the most awesome force the planet's ever seen, but you wield it like a kid that's found his dad's gun.
The Army Air Forces has announced that a flying disc is now in the possession of the Army.
Too many others know what's happening out there, and no one, no government agency has jurisdiction over the truth.
Any state, any entity, any ideology that fails to recognize the worth, the dignity, the rights of man, that state is obsolete. A case to be filed under M for Mankind in the Twilight Zone.
About time some of you got acquainted with the real hard truth.
If you don't connect the dots, it's just a mass of what's all this about.
You are listening to the Secret Teachings Radio. I'm your host, Ryan Gable. TSTradio.info is our website. rdgable@yahoo.com is the email. And we're going to enter into the main show subject early tonight because we have a special guest. Right now, Clyde Lewis is with us. We're going to go to him in just a moment. Before we do, tonight's show I wanted to tell you is about UFOs. You might already know that from the show promo. I've done so many UFO shows that it's almost gotten to the point where it's kind of, not boring, but part of me's over it. Everything that we thought was going to be released was released with these UFO, UAP file dumps from the War Department. And what we thought was going to be released was things that had already been public, things that had already been declassified. I'm not the only one who thinks this. Even someone who I'm extremely skeptical of and question almost everything he says, Ross Coulthart, even said the same thing, that much of this is what we've already had from NASA, from the federal government across the board. There's not much in these files that are new. A lot of the pictures, in fact, almost all of the pictures are quite literally black dots on a white, gray, grainy background, like literally white dots. The only one that was incredibly intriguing was the object that appeared to be star-shaped. However, I mean, it looked like a Pokemon, but I don't think it was a Pokemon. I think it was probably a flare, and it appears to be accompanied by a parachute or something to that effect. At the very least, these objects that are otherworldly as it's implied, are not supposed to have any kind of noticeable propulsion. And this object, the most talked about video, doesn't seem to follow those specs. It actually seems to have a lot of propulsion, and it seems to be moving erratically. And I don't think that it is a spaceship at all. And there's other videos that show a black dot flying fast past the camera, which could very likely be an insect, which is often what a lot of these UFOs tend to be. Unfortunately, as someone who, before I got involved in anything else, was interested in UFOs, when I was a kid, one of the first Christmas toys I got was a little gray alien that said, "Take me to your leader." I really loved the subject. I don't necessarily like the quote-unquote community. I don't know what to call it anymore. Community, I don't know. I just don't really like it. It's just filled with a bunch of... It's a monopoly. It's filled with a bunch of con men and con women and people that will put themselves at the center of every story and lie through their teeth, and maybe they actually believe it sometimes. They're not even lying. They just are delusional. The point is, though, we didn't really get much out of these UFO files, and despite that, the White House, of course, makes it very political and says the president said he'd release them. He released them, so he kept his promises. Of course, that's not really the promise people wanted him to keep. They wanted him to keep the whole, you know, Epstein file thing and the whole no war thing, but that, I guess the best we get is the best I can do for you is a black dot on a screen. And then, of course, Anna Paulina Luna, who's been leading the charge along with Burchett and others in Congress, one of her first statements on the release was, quote, "This is a great first step." So it's just first step. And now Burchett and Luna have both been speaking to the press and telling the press that actually, the reason we didn't get the real files was because they were blocked by the intelligence community. That's right. Burchett actually said that. In other words, we're going to give you the files. Here they are. People said, wait a minute, that doesn't look like the files. And Burchett and Luna said, well, that's because they blocked us from releasing the files. And you might say, well, why say that you have the files then? If why didn't you just tell us to begin with? They're gonna block the release. And so we circle back around to Epstein. This is what they did with Epstein. That's what they did with those files. We're gonna release them. They're on my desk. We're looking at them. We gotta redact some things. Actually, I don't have them. Actually, they don't exist. Actually, it's all a hoax. Actually, here they are. There's some more of them. But also then there's others that weren't released, but they don't exist. It's almost the same playbook.
People who do the stonewalling in this town. And that's what we're going to start doing. We're going to start talking to people. We're going to start naming names. I want you to think about this. Think about this, that something with the capabilities of traveling light years, not showing a heat signature, and the energy capabilities of that, that would put the Pentagon out of business. We wouldn't be fighting these worthless wars overseas over oil, and American boys and girls wouldn't be dying. It would put.
Yet the most compelling evidence had a very clear sign of propulsion. And what he's saying, it might be true, but what he's saying is also part of the long-standing narrative about why UFOs have not been disclosed. Here's Tim Burchett again.
If that it was blocked by the intelligence community, not the intelligence committee, but the intelligence community. And that is a very chilling effect.
Well, I mean, I guess it would be pretty chilling if it's true, but why didn't you just tell us that to begin with? Anyway, that's the setup for the show. Here's the pitch. Now we're going to go to Clyde Lewis. Clyde, what do you think about all of this? What is your take, sir?
I think the problem with disclosure is the people have been wanting the UFO files, but what they really want is the IFO files. They want identification. They want answers. They don't want little dots and saying, look at this, looky here, looky here. And I think what they're doing is they're, once again, demonstrating the way they want to infantilize the American people by saying, okay, we gave you this, and what more do you want? Well, they want identification. They want confirmation. They want discussions, and they want to know conclusions. And they want to know about MJ-12, whether Truman had a secret group investigating UFOs ever since the 1950 appearance, the 1950s appearance as Neil Washington. They need all that information, but they're not going to get it. The reason why they're not going to get it is because I think either the government misunderstands what people are looking for, Trump misunderstands what they're looking for, but what we're really looking for is identified flying objects, where we need the government, or people need the government for some reason, to identify those dots or whatever they are. I mean, you look up and you say, well, here we have a picture of something that was flying over Apollo 15, no, it's Apollo 17, I believe, over Apollo 17. And that, you know, we don't know what it is, but there it is. It doesn't prove anything. It's just that, you know, it could be space debris. It could be anything. I mean, I can tell you now that it's probably not when it's out 250,000 miles out near the moon. But, you know, that's what they need to have to explain to the people, that the reason why that picture is so important is because of this. They're not giving any context. So what you're doing is you're throwing somebody a map and you're saying, okay, go find Gublav Yugoslavia on a map. Well, we don't know where Gublav Yugoslavia is. Well, that's your problem, because we're giving you the information. You go find it on a map. We're giving you this UFO information. You're going to have to figure out what's going on, because we're not going to tell you. We're just going to show you a few pictures. We're going to throw down a couple of signatures and what have you, but they're not going to reveal whether or not the communication between Nikita Khrushchev and Kennedy was real, whether or not they talked about ours or theirs. We were going to have a Soyuz Apollo meeting because of the UFOs and the aliens. Why was it that Ronald Reagan broke the ice when he was dealing with Russia, and how they talked about, you know, our differences would be different. We would have a unanimous fight if we found out that there's an alien threat. What prompted Reagan to say this? Why is it that he said it? Did he say it because he had, you know, a divine knowledge or a perfect knowledge of this? Can we identify and say that he was of sound mind when he said this, when, you know, when they were all talking together about this? See, that's the problem, is we're not getting that. What we're getting is, here are a few pictures, here are a few stanzas, and that should be enough. You know, 17 pages of nothing, 17 pages of lonely. And again, you know, people talk about how this is a distraction from the Epstein files. Well, let me tell you something. The Epstein files and these other files, these UFO files, okay, if you want to call out the distraction, okay, I got a couple for you. One is, we're all considering, we're all worked up about a file about Epstein when it was just released today, and no one knows this in the news unless they've been paying attention, deep track into the news, that Disney had 10 ships that had to be taken off the water, and they had to arrest 27 of their employees for child trafficking and prostitution.
That's right. That's an amazing story that has gotten almost no attention at all.
Right. And so tell me about distraction. Tell me about the referendum or the referral that was passed around and has been used now to see if it can get past the auto pen pardon of Anthony Fauci, because they want to send him to jail because he lied about the exercises they conducted in Wuhan. They know it, and they want to send him to, because they wonder if the statute of limitations can still be had on this, and whether or not it escapes the pardon of Joe Biden, because they want him to go to jail for what he did. And nobody knows this, that he is considered a criminal with crimes against humanity. This is why he did a blanket pardon for him. But now the blanket pardon is kind of losing its appeal, because they want to send him to prison. They've already, I think, indicted one of his assistants. They got him on trial and said to him that he knew of these exercises, these you know, these ones that they do to test, you know, a disease and do these tests with taxpayers' money, that you paid for these different types of, you know, what you call labs, lab experiments and everything else through Dr. Fauci, and they're trying to get him to go to jail, but nobody's talking about that either. Nobody. So let's talk about distractions, real distractions, instead of saying, oh, the UFO files are a distraction against Epstein. Well, I can guarantee you that people are not paying attention to some of the other news, where if they were to listen and hear it, they'd be vindicated again on what was said about Dr. Fauci. They'd be vindicated about what they think about Disney, and how Disney has always been rumored to be a child trafficking organization, or at least a number of people who work for them are pedophiles.
Back to when I was a kid living in Florida, I lived in Tampa, St. Pete, Orlando's right there. It was in the news all the time. Bay News 9 in Tampa, with all the time, there was people being arrested for child porn or child trafficking at Disney. It goes back to when I was a kid and before.
Mm-hmm. And then here's another thing too. You know, we focus our attention on one boat that has the hantavirus. Okay. And that is, I guess, you know, it wants to scare us into thinking the hantavirus can spread quickly, which it can't. You expose yourself to rat droppings and mice droppings and you get it, but it has a 38% mortality rate. It spreads slowly, and they make a big deal out of that cruise line, but they're not talking about the Disney cruise line or the firing of those employees because of what they've done. And one of the things that's interesting about the hantavirus story is, I don't know, you've seen the movie X-Files, Flight to the Future. Have you seen that movie?
Yes, of course.
Okay. Do you remember in that movie where Fox Mulder meets with Martin Landau? I can't remember his name, but he was an agent that worked with Mulder's father. And he was going to tell him what would happen before the alien disclosure would happen. And he says that and it was kind of like taken right out of the words, you know, of William Cooper. But he was talking about how they were looking for a holiday to go in and declare martial law, and they're doing so because of a hantavirus outbreak. Because they say that that's what killed that little boy in Texas was the hantavirus, and they were willing to go all out to destroy that building to basically, you know, start the overall fear by declaring a pandemic of hantavirus, and people don't know much about hantavirus, so they panic. And in the process, we create a reason again to have to analyze people, you know, run checks and balances on people. And then for some reason, he said it was basically a cover for an alien virus and the presence of the aliens on this planet.
See, so that is peculiar. That's peculiar, Clyde, because I know that you did this and I did this when it first broke during the so-called pandemic several years ago. There was a story in Time magazine about how SARS-CoV-2, COVID-19, is a great test to see how the public would react and to see how society would handle the presence of an alien virus, something that you can't see, that's from somewhere else, that is extraterrestrial. Do you recall that?
It was our alien moment. Yeah, I remember. And I remember I had a standing room only audience for Clade X that I presented at Contact in the Desert, and people were saying, what's this got to do with aliens when you're talking about molecular biology? And I said, the Clade will be alien, it will be extraterrestrial, and taken right from the pages of the X-Files, taken right from the pages of Behold a Pale Horse, taken right from the pages of the greats. And I was talking about this, and I talked about it a long time before, you know, all these other people said, well, we talked about it first. No. If you were in my seminar at Contact in the Desert, which was standing room only, which I was very proud of, because heck, I can't even sell seats now, but I was able to get a lot of seats for that. And I said what I said about it. It's their cover. These diseases are their cover. And now they're trying to get people excited about another distraction of a hantavirus, when people were to educate themselves about the hantavirus and how it's very slowly spread amongst humans. That it's not going to be something that's going to kill everybody. I mean, it can kill, just like the flu can kill. Again, they don't point out that the flu can also kill you, but they want to make it sound as though, oh my God, the world's ending, we have the hantavirus. And it was right there from the scenes of the X-Files, right? The future, there will be an outbreak of a supposed hantavirus to cover up the fact that there is an alien presence on Earth. I mean, it's just crazy. It's crazy the way art imitates life or life imitates art.
To your point about how the public has this idea of what disclosure is, I think everybody has their own version of that. And to my point about the similarity to the so-called Epstein files, if you combine both of her points together, I think the problem here is that what is happening with the UFO file or the UAP file is that since the public does individually and collectively have a completely different definition of these things than the government does, and because the government probably doesn't, like in the case of Epstein, I don't think the government as a whole just knows all the details. It's a very small number of people. So then you get people in the government who, like the general public, they don't have any clue either. And so we're all sort of grasping at straws, and we never get the answer because we're all looking for different answers. And that reminds me also
I can tell you the bottom line here. The reason why anyone cares about the Epstein files is because they want to create a political hate list, a political hit list, a witch hunt list.
People are right, it's the Democrats, it's the Republicans.
Yeah, exactly. We're not going to be satisfied until we name names, march them to the public square, and execute them through firing squad.
Well, I think it's the same thing with UFOs, too. Wouldn't you agree that if let's say Trump tomorrow said, look, not only are these things real, but we know that they're alien spaceships. Well, automatically, I mean, even before that, automatically, there's that division already with the Stephen Greers and others that say they're trying to paint these as negative. They're all positive. And then others say, no, they're all negative. None of them are positive.
Well, let me tell you a little something that I remember. You know, when everybody talks about, they talk about the fake alien invasion and they talk about how this is all going to be created by the government.
I'm so sick of hearing that.
And what do they use as the example? They use War of the Worlds 1938 as an example of what happens when a fake alien threat is broadcast on the airwaves. Well, it wasn't as bad as they said. I mean, it affected a small number of people. I remember my grandmother was affected because she listened to Charlie McCarthy, and instead Charlie McCarthy was boring because Albino Ray or somebody else was on, and she didn't want to listen to him, and so she switched the channel right in the middle of that whole situation. Did you know that it happened again in 1949 in Quito, Ecuador?
Yes, I did know that.
They did the War of the Worlds in Quito, Ecuador. And for amount of time, it got so bad that people were setting fire to the radio station. And the fire department, the police department, and everybody in charge was listening to that radio show thinking that this acting sounded really good. And so these people were burning up in the station because people who thought it was real and other people didn't think it was real. Now let's go not just an alien invasion, let's talk about a missile invasion. You remember that missile launch or that fake missile launch they put on the phones in Hawaii? Yeah. In 38 minutes, there was people calling their parents saying, I love you. They were basically getting their affairs in order. They thought it was the end of the world. And in that 38 minute segment, people were doing all kinds of crazy things. There were suicides, all kinds of things. So what they have to deal with is they have to deal with the public freaking out. Once the novelty of aliens goes away and the reality sets in, this is where we're going to have to take it. And so I have a feeling that they just had their misgivings, and yes, the intelligence community, but the intelligence community, I can tell you who the intelligence community is. It's the various religious groups and people with religious biases that basically got cold feet. And this whole nonsense of them meeting in Tennessee, come on. I don't think it happened. I think it's a lie. I think it just basically fulfilled everything, all the nightmares that these preachers have about the ancient aliens, that, you know, ancient aliens have been a part of going all the way back to the late great planet Earth, going all the way back to, you know, those shows back when we were kids watching those shows, Ancient Aliens, the TV show, Ancient Aliens basically regurgitating and rebuilding the idea that the Old Testament gods were really aliens, that the Egyptian gods were aliens, that the Hindu gods were aliens, and that, you know, what's that going to faze anybody? It's not going to hurt Christianity because Christianity has been around for 2,000 years. What's this going to do to it? It's not going to topple it. It's going to take a lot to topple Christianity. And this is what bothers me, is they act like that one flesh second people are going to deny Christ the minute they find out aliens exist. And I just don't buy it. I just don't.
I think it would be exploited within the religion for some sort of political or social purposes. And I think that it's also an interesting thought experiment to consider what happens in countries that don't have Abrahamic faiths. So like living over here where I live, I mean, how do people over here deal with UFOs or the idea of aliens when spirits are baked into everyday life? You go to shrines, there's spirits of the home. Like, people wouldn't have the same kind of reaction.
I can promise you that in Europe right now, they could care less. I'm sure that they don't even think about whether or not aliens are demons. I don't think they do. You know, I don't, and that's the problem. It's just the America-centric democratic religion of the United States. It's just the idea that it's a political religious mess where science tries to describe what gods are, and people won't have it because they want a Hallmark card version of God. Mm-hmm. And unless they get their Hallmark card version of God, they're not going to worship. I swear, though, if people were to just take one step of reality and say to themselves, I want to imagine a man, an innocent man, being hung on a cross, bleeding to death, his guts hanging out of his body, you start thinking about what that really means. You start thinking about how horrifying that was. And I don't think people stop and do that because they have the Hallmark card version of how dear and sweet and wonderful it was. No, it was a horror movie. It was like watching a scene from Freddy Krueger. Let's be blunt. Same with UFOs. I think that everybody wants a fairy tale version or a comic book version of the aliens. They're not going to get one. And I was listening to somebody who said, I think I was listening to your show too, and you mentioned it, that somebody had mentioned that anthropomorphic aliens mean they're more intelligent. Mm-hmm. That the more anthropomorphic they are, the more intelligent they are. How's that for just, you know, anthropomorphizing aliens that may not be anthropomorphic? You know, we do the same thing to our animals. We do the same thing to our machines. And now we're doing it to the aliens because we're saying, well, they must be more intelligent. They're a lot more like us. Not necessarily. But you just get all these interpretations all at once and people go, well, what does all that mean? Well, you're going to find out when you find out. But right now, you're not finding out. And this is what we need to point out, that it is a distraction if there's nothing there to explore. Because I don't even have any interest really of going any further in the UFO files. I'm tired of the Epstein files.
I was going to ask you that. Yeah, if you felt the same way I do, you just kind of are done with it.
If they want the Epstein files and if they want a full-on investigation, they should get their own TV station or radio station and they should broadcast Epstein files 24/7. They did it with O.J. Simpson. I had a part-time job running an O.J. Simpson radio station.
The thing is, Clyde,
for
thousands of years, though, governments and countries have been horribly corrupt, and there's very, very rarely has there ever been any justice brought to the people who are victims of one crime or another. All human history is war and rape and torture and death and corruption.
Right.
I think that we're misled in thinking that, whether it's because we're Americans or it's because it's 2026 or 2027 or 8, that we're going to get some kind of justice simply because, you know, we've got iPhones now and we're more civilized. And in some ways we are, perhaps, but in other ways, as much as things change, they also stay the same.
Yeah. Well, it's like that comedian. Oh, my God, why did I just draw a blank on his name?
Older comedian.
He used to scream. He was a screaming comedian. He died in Needles, California. It was horrible, but he was the screaming comedian. And he used to say, you know, he was with Jennifer Hahn or Jessica Hahn. He basically went out with her. And but he was like this crazy guy. Sam Kinison, there we go. Sam Kinison was a comedian, and he used to say things like, he said something, it's like he says, you know, we see all these commercials on TV of these people that they want us to pay money for because they live in a place where there's no food. Because I got some advice for them. Move to where the food is, he says.
Yeah, I remember that.
In the desert, you morons. And I'm thinking, that's the same thing with the alien files. Either you're going to sit there and expect them to serve it to you on a plate and you gobble it up like a moron, or you're going to take the initiative to go in and study it yourself. And you're going to go in and you're going to try to find out what they're not telling you, and you're going to push them on the idea that they need to tell you. I mean, the FOIA documents and all these other things, I mean, these are things that are very real. And so if you're not getting what you want, damn it, demand what you want. Until then, we're all going to be sitting there waiting to be fed. And it's like, well, seals are like, no, it's not going to work that way. They're never going to give you anything unless you put in the work to find it.
Well, that's part of it.
And then you have to do a job of convincing people that you found it.
Part of the problem is that I personally don't think that there are many people in any branch of the government that really know much about this. And part of the issue is that people like Anna Paulina Luna, You know, she's openly stated that, you know, she's gotten a lot of her stuff from the ancient alien folks. And we know that that official in Israel who said that he was, there's a Galactic Federation. We know that he also got his stuff from the internet. He didn't get that from the Israeli government or the Mossad. So that tells us that some of these people are clearly being influenced by the same UFO con man, con woman monopoly that really pisses people like me and you and others, my audience, really pisses us off. There's a great scene. One of my favorite scenes in the X-Files is the two-part series. It's in the two-part series Dreamland, where Mulder switches bodies or consciousnesses with the Area 51 guy. And it's all over this UFO that was sabotaged so Mulder could see it. And it turns out in the episode that it's the commander of the base of Area 51. He's the one that sabotaged it. And he sits down with Mulder and he asks Mulder at the FBI, this is the guy that runs Area 51. He says, are UFOs real? Like he doesn't even know. I think that, that Chris Carter was so brilliant in writing some of these episodes way ahead of his time, because I think that's where we are today. I don't think anybody in the government really has a clue. I really don't, for the most part. Anyway.
They were probably told to not take them seriously and they didn't. And now, you know, if something happens that's unexplained and they're completely dumbfounded, they're befuddled. And they're afraid of what they may reveal, maybe something that could damage, you know, the civilization. I think, no, I think if the civilization is fragile, which we are, apparently we've made ourselves fragmented and fragile in this country, then yes, we're going to see disruption. But just the idea that it's going to be flashbang New World Order if we say the aliens exist, I think it's nonsense.
I don't know about you, but I feel, especially living overseas and having traveled some, I feel that as an American, I'm always being scammed. I feel like I'm always being taken for a ride. I'm always being distracted, but not distracted from something in particular. I'm being distracted from maybe critical thinking. I'm being kind of pushed to not think critically. I don't care if it's a virus. Yeah. I don't care if it's child trafficking. I don't care if it's UFOs. As an American, I just feel like somebody's always trying to pull one over on me. And I think in the same way that I don't feel that way outside the country, I think this, the same thing goes for how UFOs might be seen in Europe or in Asia. I don't think people would have the same kinds of reactions because there's something about American culture. Maybe it's that American centrism that I think might be at the root, or at least one of the roots of this problem of why we can never seem to get a coherent answer.
Well, I think for the longest time, ever since somebody woke up and realized that in order to make money, there has to be an adversarial attitude about everything. So turns out that, you know, they're going back to the idea, we'll sell them on the end of the world, sell them on how America is going to have a placeholder in this mess, that manifest destiny is this. If you don't follow manifest destiny, you're not even, you know, you're not even worth a damn. Or if you don't follow the new savior, you're not worth a damn. In the end, when saviors find holes in their strategies and in their purpose, people tend to go, well, I was fooled again. I mean, it's just a cycle of things. And we're going through that moment again where this is part of our enlightenment. This is our new renaissance. This is our golden age. It's a mess. I would not even call it. I mean, I'm sitting here wondering, you know, I'm hoping to get out of the hospital care soon so I can get back to work, because I just listen and I see things. I was just reading today. Somebody at the Guardian, the newspaper in England, talking about Barron Trump being a time traveler.
I read that too. Yes.
How long ago did we bring that up and talk about that? And we did it out of fun. We did it out of, hey, what if? No, they're going about it as the conspiracy theorists really believe that Trump is a time traveler. No, we speculated about it. We wonder if it's real. If it is, how cool would that be? See, they just don't have any wonderment anymore. They don't have any imagination anymore. They don't even have the ability to think outside the box, because if you do, you're considered a schizophrenic or you're schizophrenic. And I'm just like shaking my head going, you know, imagination dying right here. And once it all dies, we're all going to be boring zombies, not having to deal with life in such a way where we can have fun with it. And who knows? Maybe we'll be right. Maybe we're wrong. But take a look at all the comic book artists and take a look at all the science fiction writers that we're thinking outside the box, and then take a look at how we're living today. The only thing we don't have is flying cars, but then again, flying cars are airplanes. So I don't know.
So I have a couple of really important things I want to discuss with you before we're out of time this hour. Clyde Lewis is with us. I'm Ryan Gable. This is The Secret Teachings. So in relation to the time travel stuff, Ingersoll Lockwood, that way that story's been presented, they have presented it in some of those English newspapers as being breaking news or like it's a news story. It obviously isn't, as you just said. Yeah. It's the same thing is happening with Iran. Oh, it all started back in 1979. I think it started maybe back in the 50s with Mossadegh and the nationalizing of the oil fields. They do the same thing with UFOs. Oh, it started back in like 2004, maybe 2017 with the New York Times article. And obviously, that's just absurdly not true. And now I believe it's the 13th of May, your time, Wednesday. There's supposed to be some hearing on MKUltra, and Anna Paulina Luna is running that too. And I heard that and I thought, didn't they have the church committee hearing back in the 70s?
They did, yes.
All of this stuff is being rewritten. And that brings me to my second point. I don't call it the truth is out there. I call it the proof is out there, because as someone who has studied UFOs more than anything else in terms of the amount of time I've spent on them, I've seen far more credible declassified documents from the Soviet Union, from the UK, from Japan to the United States than anything that the government just released. There's already a ton of stuff that is very, very... like heavy, weightful proof that there's something there.
Read about Truman. Truman's very open about flying saucers. He was one of the most open presidents we had about flying saucers.
Several presidents have been. Like,
yeah, Reagan was, Carter was, Ford was. And so now, you know, they're saying, oh, look, Barack Obama's so cute. He's joking about aliens. No, he's not the first. And Trump is not the first to say, hey, by the way, aliens exist, or here are the files. I mean, this isn't disclosure. This is some haphazard way of saying, see, we did it. You did nothing. You got them to put out a few pictures of dots. Now let's get some confirmation, and I want identified flying objects now.
Yeah, and if there's any kind of conspiracy or cover-up, I think it's just simply political, where the president had made a statement about how it's, you know, proof that he's doing what he said he would do. That's really what they've made this UFO quote file dump all about.
But we don't necessarily have to like it. You know, it's like, you know, hey, I made dinner. Really? What is it? Okay. And that's just, it's like, yeah, people can make dinner too, and it can taste like garbage.
Do you see what I'm saying? Am I the only person that thinks this? They've rewritten all these narratives, right? This is happening in real time. Like, we're rewriting history in real time.
Yes, we are. Yeah. That's the whole point. That's what Orwell warned about, right? Is that, What was Winston's job but to rewrite history? You know, that's the whole point. That's what he was there for. He was there to destroy anything that made Big Brother or made the government look bad, and keep the stuff that made it look good. You know, and so this is what we're doing now. There's a group of Winstons up there in Washington that want to control the narrative. And those Winstons not only work for the government, but they're also part of the UFO monopoly, where you can't even approach them. And the reason why is because you're not going to abide by their narrative. And that narrative is the one where we have to get everybody all riled and excited about God, riled and excited about who the chosen people are, riled and excited about all that stuff. And it wouldn't matter if it weren't for politics. And that's the problem, is we're making the alien thing a political thing too. You're going to see that eventually they're going to make it political, that if you say that you believe that aliens exist, then you're probably a liberal, and that, you know, if you believe that there are demons ready to pounce on your kids, and you're a Republican or something. I just see it happening.
That's how it's framed, whether it's intentional or not. I think the general public frames it that way based on their own belief systems, right?
Yeah,
you know, conservatives tend to be much more religious, and there tends to be a very rigid way of looking at external things outside of the religion. That's why the demon conversation is being had. Those pastors who supposedly had some secret meeting, all these evangelicals. I mean, that whether that was real or not, that's all based on their, you know, their personal biases and beliefs. And
there was nothing new.
No, and we're not going to get any kind of legitimate, like, I don't know how to word it, but like I said, we all want our own version of disclosure, and that's just impossible. Right. It'll never happen. You're never going to satisfy everybody, even with things that are now well known, like a lot of stuff about 9/11 or the war in Iraq and Afghanistan. I mean, so much of those official narratives have changed and have been proven wrong. And yet you're still going to find a substantial portion of the public who have even never heard that, or they don't want to believe it, or they embrace it. There's always going to be division in people that think different ways.
Well, I can tell you this much. After you and I had this conversation, I talked about the Disney cruises. I can bet you that if you were to go up to a person and say to them, do you know about what happened with the Disney cruises? They'll tell you no. They don't know.
Well, the funny thing about that is, if there's any humor in it, is that the idea of like child trafficking is also mixed in with the UFO file, because there's a lot of, you know, the secret space program kind of folks that think that the aliens are involved in the child trafficking. Have you ever heard that?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, I've heard of it. Yeah. I mean, I even speculated, what is this? This is all alien behavior. What you do to a child is, you know, ruin its virtue. I mean, who? What kind of monster would ruin the virtue of a child? You know, an alien monster, someone who's not on this planet, someone who doesn't think about, you know, whose innocence they're trampling all over. I mean, that's what's wrong with this world right now, is we just don't respect innocence. We don't anymore. And we yearn for some sort of a spectacolor, technicolor type of world. But no, you make it that way. You don't wait for it to happen. You make it that way. And I think a lot of people are confused as to why they've been told all their lives that, you know, this is the way it's going to be, and it's not happening the way they were told. And so they're all like, well, what do I do now? You know,
I think it's part of the reason that those two things and others like them are combined, Clyde, I think, is because we don't have clear answers on UFOs. We don't have clear answers on, quote, child trafficking. And so people that tend to be interested in conspiracies or getting to the truth, when you don't have answers for long enough, things start to blend together. Like when you don't sleep and things start to sort of merge and you kind of get confused where you are and with what you're looking at. That's kind of, I think, what's happening. And I honestly think a lot of it's like genuine delusion, paranoia, schizophrenia, and legitimate researchers and people that actually have something to say and can bring value to the conversation. I think a lot of them are either drowned out by the noise, or, well, in some cases, a lot of them have actually just passed away and they're gone. And the whole space has been taken over by, I mean, quite frankly, a bunch of amateurs and people that are very childish. And I mean, I personally put Anna Paulina Luna into that category. I don't think the girl knows what she's talking about. She talks about the Book of Enoch like it was a biography, when the books itself, there's three of them. The book itself, though, combined, it's like most of it's parable. It's explicitly symbolic.
It's an alien scripture, but if you can't use the Bible to prove the same thing, then I don't know what you're dealing with. Because from Genesis 6 on, you can read about, I mean, Ezekiel, you read about the gods of Canaan. You read about how they look like, you know, huge locusts with big teeth, and, you know, anything from werewolves, vampires to aliens are all in the Bible. It's just that you have to look at it in that respect rather than, you know, some lofty imaginary, you know, chariot of fire, you know.
Even like unicorns. Riding up, even unicorns. Unicorns are in the Bible, I think. There's like seven references to unicorn.
So dinosaurs, I think. There's a reference to something. I don't know what, I can't remember what they call it. Is it pachyderm or something? I can't remember what it was, but they call it that. And it's a big creature. They don't necessarily specify what it is, but I wouldn't doubt that some of the remnants of the past have been somehow intertwined with the Bible.
Well, that you'd also need to consult other ancient texts if you want some real good context on human history. It's not all in the Bible.
I know, but that's what people use as their, it's not in the word, so therefore I don't believe it. Well, it is kind of in the word. You just got to look at it in a different way, point of view.
I heard this comedian, she summarized it really well. This comedian who's from Asia, and her husband's from America, and she said that when she met his parents, you know, they're very Christian, and they asked her about the Bible, and she's not Christian, so she didn't read it. And her parents said, well, how do you know not to kill people if you never read the Bible? How do you know not to kill people? She said, well, I didn't need to read the Bible to know not to kill people.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know. It's just, there's a lot of different ideas, and you're not going to please everybody. You're not going to please everybody with the UFO files. That's why they need to be identifiable flying objects instead of unidentified. The idea of keeping it a mystery, even though you're releasing the files, I think is detrimental to the whole purpose of why these things need to be released. That's why this is a nothing burger again that they've given us. The idea that the Epstein files should take precedent just depends on what your values are and whether or not you want to create a witch hunt hate list. I think that's one of the things that they're looking for is a hate list. Hell, you don't even need to do that. I mean, I hear people all the time call Donald Trump a pedophile, rapist, whatever, and they don't have anything on him about being a pedophile. So, I mean, even though there are pictures of him with Epstein, that doesn't mean that he had sex with a kid. I don't know. It's just people come to these conclusions. It's like, you know, there are a lot of people in his little black book, too. Doesn't mean they were with him. Doesn't mean that they hung out at the ranch or at the island. I mean, it doesn't mean that. And that's what trials are for. And this whole idea of, you know, pre-judicial decisions made by the public to destroy people is just horrible. It's a horrible thing. I mean, I'm the first person to say lock them up, kill them if they're caught. You know, I'm not a fan of capital punishment, but when it comes to, you know, children, when it comes to robbing them of their virtue, I think those people are monsters and they deserve to go back to where they were, back in the ground. And it's because they're just sick people. And so, just because I say that doesn't mean that I don't believe there should be justice. But yes, justice. We need to start thinking about justice. We need to start thinking about due process. And these are the things that we're lacking in this country. And that's one of the reasons why we're failing, I think.
One of the things that blends the UFO subject and the weird child trafficking, perverted sex thing together is that, I don't know if you noticed this, Clyde, and if you don't have a comment, I understand and respect that, but I feel like a lot of the UFO community, and we've even seen this like in terms of actual convictions, there are a lot of people who are speakers and people that make documentaries and so on that are accused, prosecuted and convicted of like possession of child pornography. They're involved in some real bad stuff with kids. Have you noticed that is an unfortunately big part of the UFO fringe? I wonder why that is.
I think it's because they get a God complex, and we all know what the abuse of a child is. It's about power and wielding that power over a child, abusing it to the point where it has no other alternative but to succumb to the wishes of that who's holding the power against the child. That's one of the reasons why people make up these stories too. They think that, hey, look, I can sell out a 500 seat auditorium to talk about blue aliens. Yay me. You know, I I'm sorry.
You can bring it up on this show. You can bring it up on this show, but okay. I was actually reported to the FBI and Boulder County police for a murder. So it's all right. It's totally ridiculous, but I, on that subject, more so the people that have been victims of abuse, I think what happens is, you know, your mind disassociates, you find some kind of calm in mysterious conspiratorial things. Maybe it's because you are a little bit schizophrenic, you know, you're affected by the experience as a kid. But a lot of the people that are like fans of this subject have been molested, and they know they've been molested. And I think the idea of like quite literally being probed by an alien, I think that might be sort of not a nice one, but like a memory replacement. And I think that those two, that's why it blends together. That's what I think.
It's always possible. Yeah. I mean, I've always wondered about that. I've always wondered about, you know, whether, you know, the way we deal with horrors as we create another story that leaves people either blameless or gives people a reason to seek out better environments. And the way they do it is they say, well, I mean, the thing that bothers me is you always hear, well, the aliens were probing me, but that's a good thing. Well, no, it's not. You know,
I guess, for the betterment
of humanity. It's like, yeah, I like to have the crap kicked out of me. And then I say that's a good thing for humanity. No, it's not. It's not good at all.
Hey, there's some people in the UFO community that would like to be probed by aliens. So it's a known fact.
Yeah. Are you talking about Stephen Greer?
Come on. I was going to say it. But
if you... You know what I'm talking about.
Yeah, we're on the same wavelength here, yes. Hey, Clyde said it. I didn't say it.
Yeah, I didn't say it. No, I was under the control of the Galactic Federation. Yes, I'm sorry.
The alien mind control. All right, last question, because I know that you're limited on time. Ingersoll Lockwood, the time travel stuff and how we've rewritten the history there. We've written the 1979 in Iran, the UFO stuff I mentioned, MKUltra. So in thinking about that, I've got another question to ask you. Back in the 90s, there's a guy named Sergei Monast.
Monast.
Right? Yeah. He's a Canadian journalist. And this, you and I might be the only people that talk about this. I have literally never heard anybody else mention this. And it's the idea that this Project Bluebeam story has not only been rewritten, but if you go back and read the original, it really doesn't have anything to do with aliens. It has to do with like science fiction. Like he's interested in Jurassic Park. Yeah. He's interested in the Space Odyssey. And then he writes about how it's really about the second coming of Christ, not about aliens.
It's interesting because I read Baudrillard, and I've told you to read Baudrillard. He says the same thing with regard. I mean, a lot of his writings were quite, was used proficiently in the Matrix movies. But he said the most cynical thing mankind can do is fake his own second coming. And I think he took that from Monast, because he was, of course, circle with a Canadian French guy. And so, I mean, Baudrillard's French too. And so I think they both, fed off that idea that the biggest cynical thing mankind can do is fake his second coming. And I one time did a show where I asked a girl to come on the show with me, and I asked her to describe for me what a second coming would be like. And she said, well, I'm standing outside. I'm looking up into the heavens. All of a sudden, I see these flashing lights in the sky. They start gathering together in formation. And then all of a sudden, there's this huge vortex that starts forming with these lights. And then you start seeing people being lifted from the ground into the sky. And then all of a sudden, you see another big brighter light coming down. And that brighter light has an occupant in it that we're told is Jesus. And I'm saying, okay, now what would an alien invasion sound like? And she said, oh my God, it would be the same thing. I'm going, exactly. So how is it that, you describe an alien invasion the same way you describe the second coming? Maybe it's because they're one and the same, or maybe it's because we entertain
it's an archetype.
One idea to replace the other. Yeah, it's an archetype.
Yeah, which is what Jacques Vallée had argued for years. And I've argued it too. If you go to you go to Northern Europe and you talk to people about fairies, and what are they going to tell you that the fairies do? They kidnap your children. They do experiments on them. They take them to underground bases up in the clouds.
I described the Santa Claus story as a metaphor for the second coming, because he comes down from heaven and he's wearing red because in the Bible, Jesus is wearing red. He's got garments that are stained in the blood of the saints and whatever. And so he comes down in red and he's bearded it just seems like it's a drill.
It's the shaman
for kids.
It's the shaman story.
Yeah. It's the drill for kids saying, oh, guess who's here? Jesus is here. Better hide the porn. it's basically the same story.
That might be a good t-shirt. Jesus is here. Better hide the porn. It might sell well.
Yeah, I guess.
And I know for Santa Claus, you want that. I'd like to see it too. I'm not like a Kiss fan, but I want to see, Santa, Kiss Save Santa, like the full movie.
Oh yeah, I love that. I love to see that. I think it should be done. Gene Simmons, if you're listening, I would gladly pay money to have you on a cam counting my money as I pay for that movie, Kiss Save Santa.
Hey, since we're doing Family Guy references, we'll reference what did Stewie have to say about Jesus? Got a crucifix in the kitchen. Remember that?
I can't remember.
Stewie's looking at the crucifix. I think he said something to the effect of, "Nothing says bon appetit like a half-dead, bloodied, beaten Jew on a piece of wood or nailed to a piece of wood."
Yeah. I kind of get cynical like that too. So
yeah, well, I mean, that's kind of the motivation for tonight's show. So anyway, the Project Bluebeam, it's not about aliens per se, and it's also not an actual project. It was all a theory, and right.
Yeah, and a lot of it has to do with revealing that a lot of what you read in the Bible is nonsense. That has to be done first. Earthquakes in various areas where they uncover religious artifacts and call them, different things, and say, well, this proves the divinity of Christ is nonsense. And then all of a sudden, boom, we have an extraterrestrial God beamed into the sky by some over-the-top NASA creation, and this is where we... But no, they turned it into an alien thing. They didn't turn it into a Jesus thing. They turned it into an alien thing. And
so why is that? Last question. Why is that, and why has this persisted so long in this community? I don't understand.
I just think that it's done because somebody came up with a very good theory, and the way that aliens are portrayed in comic books and movies and TV shows, people tend to think that if it looks ugly, it means it's evil. And yet they don't read their very own Bibles, because the angels that were talked about in biblical times weren't all that good looking either.
No, they were horrific.
Tell me why the shepherds fell to their faces and were so afraid when an angel came down and said, "Hey, don't worry. I bring you good tidings of great joy. I know I look horrible, you know, but still I'm here to tell you the truth, you know."
It's like an elephant man angel.
Yeah. Yeah. Elephant man angel, Hindu, a blue God. Don't feed my God a peanut.
Sir, can I have your social security number? I will call police if you don't give number.
I just got a call that before I went out with you. Anyway, I certainly did. Yeah. They're all over the place.
I'll close this segment with you with saying one more thing, and I know you might have a comment on this as well. I think a lot of the problem with the UFO subject and with the idea of aliens, and those two things are separate, UFOs and aliens, are not necessarily the same thing. But I think part of the problem is the general public does not know what a metaphor is and does not understand the Jungian archetypes. And I think that if they did, including looking at the Book of Enoch, like Anna Paulina Luna has been telling us to do, you would see this stuff in a completely different light. And a lot of it does link back to the shamanic practices, you know, the story of Santa Claus and the fairies. It's all telling a very similar story. And also, I think the most important part, Clyde, is that it changes with cultures and it changes over time. We don't see ships. We see spaceships today, but we don't see like Spanish galleons in the sky, because technology changes. And I think that the more technology changes, the more the UFO subject is going to change. It's Charles Fort wrote about it. Young wrote about it. It's not what we think it is. A lot of it, I think, is a projection of what we want to believe or what we don't understand.
Yeah, I believe that we certainly, if we've read those books, we look at the world in a different way. And this is why when people listen to us, they're wondering, where did he come up with this? They come up with it by reading things that I wouldn't say are forbidden, but there's something that opens your mind, from Steiner to Jung to, you know,
Campbell,
Glick to Campbell. I mean, just go down the list of all these people who have written these books, Baudrillard, who have written these books to make you think outside the box and understand that we do operate on symbols, that we do put our faith in symbols more so than words. And so this is something that once the picture does not match the definition, and we have to reprogram everybody like they did in Childhood Zen by Arthur Clarke. If you read that, they had to reprogram people to accept the overlords. Otherwise they wouldn't have, because the overlords don't look anything like what they thought they would look like, the aliens. And they look like something very familiar. And this would even fortify the Christians in their fear of aliens being demons. But that was done on purpose by Arthur Clarke, because he figured that was what Christians would do, is they would immediately say that they were demons. And so, yeah, I always tell people, read that book, and I don't think they do, but they should read Childhood's End and give them a good idea of what script we're on right now.
Well, Clyde Lewis of Ground Zero, a really good friend of mine, thank you so much for coming on the show tonight. And I always want to thank you for this. I don't know if I've done it on air many times, but thank you for letting me host your show on occasion. It's an honor.
Sure. Oh, you bet. I appreciate that. I appreciate your good work and all the radio you put out there. That's compelling and interesting. And so keep up the good work, and hope to talk to you soon.
You got it. Do you have any quick update for listeners on your health or when you're coming back?
They're looking into a lot of things, from prostate cancer to other things. And I'm not saying I have it, but of course they have to check off the list of things that I have or have not had. So, and that's why they're holding up, is because I think they want to get as much money out of me as possible before they move on to the next phase. I do believe I am going to be going through a transition pretty soon, where I'll be a lot more accessible.
Are you becoming a woman?
Yeah. Yeah. I'm going to become a woman. I wanted to call Loretta.
Loretta.
And I wanted to have babies.
Claudia. It's Claudia. Claudia.
Claudia, yeah. I want to be Loretta, and I want to have babies. You want to have babies? Yes, I want to.
Yeah, when you come back on it, this is ground zero. I'm Claudia Lewis.
I'm Claudia Lewis.
Or yeah. Louise. Claudia Louise.
Claudia Louise. I'm Claudia Louise. Hi. But you can call me Clyde. But no, the transition is being from this facility to a facility that would be more personal for me. And that way I'm not sharing, you know, rooms or anything like that, but I don't know how long that's going to last. I mean, there's some things that definitely have to be done, but I'm appearing on shows with you. You know, I'm going to be appearing on other shows on the network. So it just means I'm getting back into the swing before I go full on my show. So there you go.
All right. Excellent. We wish you the best, Clyde. Have a good night.
Thank you, man. Have a good night. Bye-bye.
Okay, bye-bye. All right. Well, that was 2 times as long as I thought it was going to be. And I mean that in the best way possible. I called Clyde. Well, even before I called Clyde, I had to wake up. I woke up at 7 a.m. The sun was very bright. I thought, oh my goodness, I overslept. It turns out it was only 7 a.m. and it gets very bright and it gets very light very early here in Japan. I think it was sunlight was out like that about 5:45. Maybe it gets that bright in the U.S. I don't remember, but it feels like it gets so much lighter here so much faster, and and especially as we get closer to the summer. Anyway, I woke up at like 7. I had to do a few things around the house, and I decided I got to call Clyde and see if he can do a show. Luckily, I got a hold of him, and he could come on. And he didn't give me a time frame, but I said maybe like 30 minutes, and I'm never good at holding people to a time frame because I think, well, I've got you. You seem to be enjoying it. I'm enjoying it. Let's just keep talking. So you got an hour with Clyde Lewis at the beginning of the show. It's a little different. Usually I save interviews for the second half. So tonight, I suppose we're just inverting the show. And I honestly think that we could end the show right now, but there are some other things that I wanted to discuss that I have pulled up and some files, some videos that I wanted to play for you, including I'll play that Tim Burchett clip again, because there's some little loose ends that we could tie up here. Let's start with what the president posted on Truth Social. This is a quote. As for my promise to you, the Department of War has released the first tranche of the UFO UAP files to the public for their review and study. People can decide for themselves what the hell is going on. Now, for those of you who maybe heard our UFO show earlier this week, and I didn't provide context on that show, I kind of assumed everybody knew this already. But for anybody wondering why I was making the argument that considering how the government in general, all agencies, the White House, have told us that we're not allowed to see, say, the files of Hillary Clinton or some of the Epstein stuff or whatever it might be. We were told all throughout the quote-unquote pandemic that we're not allowed to do our own research, or at least it's very dangerous to do our own research. Why are we being told to decide for ourselves? I'm not saying that's a conspiracy or some kind of malicious thing, but it's, you have to admit, it's at least a little bit peculiar that the whole kind of conspiratorial running joke, if you will, is that the government just tells you how to think and they don't want you to think for yourselves. And of course, I'm sure there's some folks that say, well, that's what the president does. He's a great leader. And I completely disagree with that. I don't think that's what it is. I think it's a politicizing of a subject that really should not be politicized. It's the politicizing of a subject. And if there is anything that is conspiratorial about it, or if there's anything about this that's kind of a distraction, I think that's what this is. This is probably kind of meant to be a distraction away from the fact that the president clearly lied about the situation with Iran and regime change, and clearly lied about the Epstein files. Regardless of what they are, what you think about them, the president very blatantly has lied about it. Very blatantly has lied about no more war and regime change, and then lied about the war itself and said it wasn't a war. So if there is a conspiracy, that's it. Or conspiracy is not the right word, but if there's a politicizing of something, that's what it is. And it really has nothing to do with with UFOs. I mean, they could have released a sticky note that said UAP and said, that's our file. See, I released them. You weren't specific enough, which is kind of what's implied. We go to Anna Paulina Luna. Anna Paulina Luna had said, this is a great first step. Additional releases are expected in the coming weeks. A second tranche of documents, including additional requested video footage, is anticipated within approximately 30 days. Now, I'm going to give you my opinion for what it's worth. This is my opinion. And this kind of proves the point of what Claudia and I were talking about, or Claudia Louise. I like Clyde's transition name. If you ask 10 people what they expect to get out of a UFO UAP disclosure, you're probably going to get 10 answers. Some of the answers might be similar, but you're probably going to get 10 answers. You're going to get someone who thinks that the president's going to speak in the Rose Garden and announce that aliens are real and that the UFOs are their vehicles, which is a real old kind of archaic concept, and that we've got one. You want to see him? And then there's people that are going to believe, I suppose that's one end of the spectrum at the other end. There's people that are going to believe that, okay, they released the files. I don't really see anything credible. I bet they're still hiding the real files. And you're going to get answers in between. That's what happens with any subject, any topic. It happened with the death of David Wilcock. It is still happening with the death of David Wilcock, as you heard on a show I did on Tuesday called High Plains Grifter. It has happened with every subject, every time, and all the history of humanity. The public is never going to just 100% unanimously agree that something is the way that it is. It's never going to happen. No matter how much brainwashing, programming, etc. you engage in, there's always going to be somebody, even if it's one person, there's always going to be somebody who says no. You know, even during the quote unquote pandemic, you might have felt alone like I did, but there were lots of people who felt the way that a lot of us felt. I refused to participate in it. I refused to wear a mask to my own detriment. I refused to do it because it was never about public health. It was an exercise in authoritarianism and social control. That's what it was. It's been admitted to be that. It's been admitted to be that in medical journals. It's been admitted to be that by governors of states. And I just didn't participate. But it felt very lonely. And it felt like nobody else was doing that. And it turns out a lot of people were doing that. So there's always going to be people that are going to reject the story. And the thing is, if you could ask, I know they paint AI as a godlike source that can never be wrong, and it's wrong all the time because it's just a program based off of what we teach it. But if you were to ask a source of all-knowing authority, if you had, you know, three wishes, if you had a conversation with, you know, this anthropomorphic version of monotheistic God, and you were to ask the question, do UFOs exist? And the implication, of course, being that, you know, there's an identifying factor involved in that answer, and there's aliens. And God, or this source of truthfulness, or, you know, three wishes you get granted by the genie, it says, yes, UFOs are real. And, you know, by your implication, yes, aliens are real. And, you know, by your implication, this is what they, you know, they look like, or, you know, where they're from, etc. It doesn't matter if you're talking to God, or you're talking to a supercomputer, or you're talking to a genie. I think if you had a wish and you could get that answer, for some people, they are going to reject the answer no matter what, and it's going to simply be based on what they believe. Same, I think, would go for people that don't trust government. If you had an all-knowing source that told you, nope, none of this stuff is real, you'd say the genie's lying, God is lying, the government's lying. I mean, do you genuinely think that the whole government is aware of this stuff? I mean, that's just silly to consider subject that way because everything is compartmentalized, everything. There's no way that the vast majority of people know. I mean, you think about members of Congress. Some of these people are like wealthy trust fund type folks. They some of these people don't even know how to. Remember Mitt Romney? Mitt Romney didn't even tie his own shoes. Mitt Romney had people, he had like a shoe person. I think the Queen of England had that too. I'm pretty sure the King does. They have, I think there's a position. It's called like the something of the chamber, a director of the change. It's like just somebody that runs the royal wardrobe. These people don't even like change their own underwear. They don't change their socks. They don't tie their shoes. I highly doubt that these folks are spending time looking into a subject like this. And unfortunately, many of the people who do look into it are driven by the potentiality of, you know, novelty and what it can get them, or the potentiality of maybe diverting funds and siphoning off those funds. I'm sure a lot of that is happening with this UFO stuff. There's a lot of money going around. I'm sure a lot of it's going into somebody's pocket, going up somebody's nose. It's being put in a hooker. I'm sure that, like with everything else, $10,000 plates of food, and remember the big government bailout where all the money went? I'm pretty sure that, I don't know how much money, but of all the money that's been spent over the last decade and all the money that'll be spent in the next 10 years, I'm sure a lot of it's going up people's noses and right into their bank accounts, and I'm sure it's not going to uncovering or investigating any of this stuff. So you got to look at the subject like everything else. And we know that most other things are, and by things I should clarify and say, we know most things that we get from government are, we don't have all the answers and all the details because they don't have all the answers and all the details. Are UFOs real, Mr. Mulder? But Mulder doesn't know. That's why he's there. You're supposed to know. You're the Area 51 guy. Are they real? I mean, I guess, but maybe they're not. I mean, there's something there. So the question obviously is, what are they? We don't know. The government doesn't know. And actually, I think that's congruent. I think it's congruent with the history of what has been, you know, the proof is out there, what has been declassified. I bring it up every UFO show, the Robertson Panel Report from 1953. I think it's one of the most credible and valid documents of the whole UFO file. And that document, I think, is still, the policies in that document are still being operated today. And I believe, based on that document, that has been the policy since that document was put together by the intelligence community and military to surveil UFO groups, to infiltrate them if necessary, to spread disinfo, but at the very least, just to listen, to see what they say, because the government didn't know back then what these things were either. And they wanted to know if UFO researchers could figure it out before they could. And that could be dangerous, especially because there clearly was some technological capabilities involved here. And so the intelligence community, the military, wanted to get access to whatever that was. And this, by the way, was also, this is 1953, so it's a couple years after the atomic bombs or whatever those actually were, and we're getting into the Cold War, and it's paranoia, spy planes, and using UFOs as cover for the spy planes. And that was another part of what the UFO file has revealed, is that the government made up stories to cover for the fact that they were developing things they didn't want the public to see or be aware of. And they certainly didn't, because of that, didn't want our enemies to become aware of it. So it was a secret spy plane, SR-71, and other technologies. I mean, I think that I watched a documentary one time on the SR-71. I've seen two of them in person. I watched a documentary on one of those things one time, and like what I saw at the museum was not what the pilot reportedly saw. I'm pretty sure that the pilot was brought in blindfolded and they took him into the cockpit, and like, he didn't even get to really analyze the plane from what I remember reading and hearing that documentary. I mean, to some extent, I'm sure that they gave him the details and knows how to fly it probably, but I don't think he got to inspect it. I think they just put him in the cockpit. Okay, you fly it. They built it. You fly it. They don't get to fly it. They built it. You fly it. And then close your eyes, get off the plane. It was very compartmentalized. And that's for something that's very human. Very, very human. So this is my assessment of the UFO, UAP subject. Are they real? Well, probably. I mean, there's something there. It changes with time and culture and perspectives. What is it? Is it a fairy? Is it an alien? Is it? Now we're starting to talk about more than ever time travel. Are they time travelers? Things change with technology. And the more things change, the more they stay the same, but the more our definitions are tweaked and altered. So that's more the fringe version of all of this. There's the politicizing of it. Then there's the kind of fringe view, which takes us into the transition from like fairies to time travel. At least that's how I'm seeing this and how I'm choosing to frame it tonight. Let's go to some of these videos now. This is Anna Paulina Luna, Fox News. Let's take a listen to this.
Is Florida Congresswoman and Chairwoman of the Task Force on the Declassification of Government Secrets, Anna Paulina Luna. Congresswoman, thank you for joining us tonight. So as we looked over what's been released so far, it's a lot of videos, a lot of pictures, a lot of things that make you go, I wonder what that is.
But yeah, exactly. I wonder what that is. It's a UFO. It ain't aliens. It's not aliens. It's just a UFO.
I think in the age of AI and just what we can see on video now, I don't know that a lot of Americans are coming to any conclusion. I guess that's kind of the point.
They're
of it.
Showing that like star Pokemon some of the teasing video.
That you and other members of Congress have done. Apparently,
which has a noticeable. Do you think this is going to get more propulsion system?
Kind of concrete or more conclusive, or will it continue to be? Here it is. Make of it what you wish.
Well, to be clear, all the images that you saw in that initial rollout on Friday, these are not AI-generated images. As you saw, even in that video that you just played, there are redactions. So this came off of either military.
Why would you need to? I mean, why would you need to have AI do this anyway? It's just
in talking with the Pentagon. Actually, this Thursday,
it looks like a 1990s. Game Boy game.
We at the task force have been specifically requesting. As far as more concrete evidence is concerned, I want to be very clear about something. All of the documents that you saw released per President Trump's directive this February, up until recently, these were considered classified. We actually weren't even able to talk about them without threats of losing our security clearances or being prosecuted. As you saw, the whistleblowers that came forward that did discuss it, there was whistleblower retribution. We've tried a number of times to either get disclosure in legislation, whistleblower protections pertaining to UAPs in legislation. And every single time we do, even though this is one of the most bipartisan, bicameral things in the country, we're stonewalled and we're blocked. And so I'm hoping that this will change the discussion of that, that Congress will move forward in providing protections, because we've also been told, you know, whether or not there exists back engineering programs regarding this technology, whatever it might include. Mm-hmm. Our goal and objective is to, A, ensure that our taxpayer funds are not, A, being spent somewhere they shouldn't, B, that
people are
federal law, and C, this is national security. And so based on our investigations,
naturally it is.
What I can tell you is I'm glad I can finally talk about it. Some of the documentation that you actually saw released this past Friday did include, up until recently, FBI investigative or investigations that actually took place here in Florida. And to be clear, we actually were working very closely with the FBI because they were one of the few government agencies that was actually taking this seriously. And based on what we're seeing, you know, we've talked to other governments about this. There's more to come. That's all I'll say on that.
More to come. So tune in next week. I just feel like this is going to become Dragon Ball Z. And you're going to watch 15 episodes. And they're still going to be squaring off, ready to fight. When I was a kid, I really hated that. I love Dragon Ball Z. I had no idea what anime was, but I love Dragon Ball Z. And I watch Pokemon in the morning, watch Dragon Ball Z at night. And that's how, if you watch Dragon Ball Z, that's how Dragon Ball Z was, right? It's, you're like waiting weeks and weeks and weeks for this fight. You're like, when's this going to happen? These guys have been talking on this cliffside for like, it's been a month and a half. can someone throw a punch, or can someone like light up an energy ball or something? I mean, Jesus Christ, as much as I love the show, it just is. And then every episode is a recap, and that's what this is. It's like a TV show. Come back next week to see what happens. And that's what they're actually telling us. They're literally telling us that next week, mid-May, they're going to release more files. Next time, it'll be the good ones. I mean, is it really a prediction to say that then they'll tell us, actually, it'll be the next week, and then the next week, and then that's if, where it's not satisfied and it's all shut down. But this is like a TV show. This is like a popular TV show, maybe in the old days of television. Tune in next week to see if, you know, our heroes survive. Next, Thursday at 7 p.m. That's what this is. That's why I don't watch TV shows when they're new. I wait until the series is complete and I go back and watch it. I never finished watching Breaking Bad. I'm just now finishing season 5. I never finished watching The Sopranos. These are old shows. I'm just finishing the final season of Sopranos. I love both of those shows. They're great. I wish I'd have watched them earlier. Kind of wish I would watch them earlier, but I wait until it's over because I don't want to wait till next week to see what happens. I don't have the patience for that. There's other stuff to do. But that's the feeling I'm getting from this UFO stuff. It's going to be a come back next week to see what the government has released. And I mean, if these videos are anything like what we've seen already, then we're in for not so much of a treat. We're just going to see the pretty much the same thing. And again, back to what we were discussing with Clyde, like, what exactly does the public expect? What do we want collectively, individually? I mean, I highly doubt that any of us could come to by us, I mean literally us, like you as an audience, people that you like the show, you trust me. I talk to a lot of you on a one-on-one basis. I feel like we'd all still come to a different, even Clyde, we'd come to a different definition of what disclosure is. It's your own, your own personal disclosure. And I don't think that there's no sort of propulsion in this disclosure movement. There isn't. I mean, it's basically a UFO. We don't even know how to identify what the movement is. Like, we don't even know what we want to declassify, and that might be as simple as it is. You ever consider that? We don't even know what we want to declassify. It's kind of like, a computer can do a lot of really cool things. And if you're like me, you never bother to learn about what it can do until you're about to change it out for a new one. Then you're like, wait, if I click that button and that button, it does that. I wish I'd have known that 5 years ago. Or I don't know about the PC, but on Macs, what you can do with your fingers on the touchpad, you can move stuff around in ways that I just accidentally touched it one day and it did. I was like, what, how did it do that? I never bothered to learn hotkeys. I don't like computers. I'm not a computer guy, but you learn something new. The computer knows how to do it, but unless you tell it to do it, it's not going to do it. And I think maybe that's part of the problem too. We don't know what we want to declassify. We don't know what we want to disclose. So if we don't know what to disclose, I mean, there could be a database somewhere, and or maybe even government workers And, you know, they're aware of maybe the more so of the quote proof of what people are expecting. Like, you're not asking the right questions. You need to ask a different question. Does that make sense? I think it makes sense. We're not asking the right questions. We're wondering why we're not getting the feedback that we want. By the way, this video of the star thing is just, it's really getting on my nerves. And I knew that it would do this. I knew that people were going to make AI generated slop. I knew that people were going to spread this as the one piece of evidence and proof. There's a video going around that just is absolutely ridiculous. Someone fed this thing into the AI and it pumped out some video, and it literally looks like, well, I thought it looked like Starmie from Pokemon. Someone else said it looked like Solrock. That's a slightly later generation Pokemon. So you'll excuse my love for the original and not so much for the next. I think that was that next generation. I should double check. I consider myself a Pokemon master in many ways, but I don't remember what generation that's from. I think it's got to be second or third generation. Solrock. Oh yes, third generation. Okay, so I maintain the Pokemon master. Pokemon Master title. I'm a big Pokemon fan. Anyway, Starmie. I think it looks like Starmie. I still maintain that it looks like Starmie. Let me count the rays here. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 3, 4, 5, 6. How many rays does Starmie have? Maybe you don't know what I'm talking about. Pokemon is a video game. maybe not Star. Maybe Staryu, the pre-evolution version, 3, 4, 5. So Staryu has 5 points. I mean, it looks like Staryu or Starmie. It could be either. And it's just, the point is, it's very clearly fake. Very clearly fake, like obviously fake, like ridiculously fake. And I knew it was going to happen. I might have even said it on the last UFO show that this is going to be the one that everybody talks about. And it's going to be turned into slop. And it's going to be put everywhere. And it's just garbage. You know, to quote Gru from Despicable Me, "This is garbage." It's just garbage. Don't people get tired of making stuff up? Don't you get tired of? I get tired of seeing it. Let's go to Tim Burchett. Let's see what Tim Burchett had to say.
We were denied access to the skiff, and so.
Oh, this is Luna and Burchett, for the record.
To my knowledge, what's going to happen now is not only do we have the support of the chairman, but they're going to get a nice letter from Congress. And as you heard, Representative Ogle said, if we're denied, we're going to use the Holman rule. We'll defund the position.
And I was told by leadership that it was blocked by the intelligence community, not the intelligence committee, but the intelligence community. And that is a very chilling effect. If someone can reach through the veil of government and pierce it to the point of, we do not have access to something, you got to start asking yourself, who the hell's in control? And I think it'd be wise for
you. It's a fair point. I don't necessarily put much trust in Burchett or Luna. It's a fair question, although it's not really a new question. It's the same question we've been asking our entire lives.
You all start looking at some financial disclosures of some of those corporations, some of the people who do the stonewalling in this town. And that's what we're going to start doing. We're going to start talking to people. We're going to start naming names. I want you to think about this.
But, you know, maybe just do that anyway. This is like if you've ever dealt with someone who does drugs, or if someone who is an alcoholic, or someone who is a chronic cheater and liar. In all of these cases, I've had several friends who are, you know, into drugs, and they always try to convince you, you know, it's going to get better. You know, I'm getting better. I'm off drugs, and clearly they're not. And you watch and see. I got my gym membership. I'm going to go to the gym, and I'm going to replace the drugs with working out, and I'm going to, you know, drink water and smoothies and eat healthy, and you're going to see. And then, you know, you believe them the first time, maybe, and maybe even the second or third time they fell off the wagon. Oops. So you're supporting of this person. And then eventually you get to the point where you're like, well, you've said that 37 times this year. So I don't believe that that's, you know, it's only March. I don't think that you're actually going to change. That's usually what happens. It's not actually March. It's May. I'm just in this example. It's like 3 months into the year, and you've already said 37 times that you were going to change, and you never do. So just do it and stop teasing me. I said this on the last show. Just put it in. Just stop teasing me. Just stop messing with me. Okay. Just, or you watch and see. We're going to name names. Hey, Tim Burchett, why don't you just name them right now? What is all of this theater? What is all of this circus? Just call a press conference. Say, if me or my children or my family or an American city, if anybody dies or gets blown up, if there's any kind of act of terrorism or a new war starts or someone's poisoned or someone disappears, you'll know that something suspicious is going down. With that being said, I'm going to name the names. Here are the members of Congress. Here are the members of the intelligence community. Here are the people involved who are covering this up. And we want, I mean, he's a member of Congress, so he can do it, but we're going to investigate this. We know who these people are. That's the end of it. Use the power of Congress. Use the power of the purse. Congress supposedly controls the purse strings, right? So if you know that an intelligence agency, if you know that some government organization, including, okay, not a government organization, but a company that has a contract with a government agency, then you cut off the funding. Those companies aren't going to be paid if the government doesn't have the money to pay for those things. So cut the money off. Maybe I'm thinking of it too simplistically, but that isn't that what Congress does? That's what they're supposed to do anyway. Cut the funding. If it's the CIA, you cut the funding off. You might get your head blown off in front of your wife in Dallas, but you cut the funding off. If it's some small agency that's involved that you never heard of, you find out who it is, what their name is, who runs them, you cut the finance off. Obviously, unfortunately, I don't think that we're really in control of our finances. The $38, $39 trillion in debt kind of speaks to that fact. And I also don't think that these agencies are directly funded by Congress. I think a lot of it's off the book, black budget type stuff. And I'm sure there's a lot of corporate funding of Congress. I'm sure that it's a back and forth revolving door. But I mean, maybe I'm naive, but I feel like, I guess I just need a Southern accent, and I could run for Congress. And if I got into Congress, I feel like it would be a little bit easier than Tim Burchett is making it. You are Congress. You basically are the government. You have more authority than the president does. I mean, like, realistically, constitutionally, you have the authority. So do something about it and stop telling me. You'll see. We're going to name names. How many times have you heard stuff like this about it? I mean, about just anything. You've heard this from people in Hollywood about the child trafficking. What was that, Corey Feldman? I don't know what the deal is with that person, but I remember it's like, oh, name names and this. Nothing ever happens. Do you know how many times I have been called on the phone by a friend who said, have you heard that so-and-so claims this, this, and this? I think Breitbart. You know, there's a claim that he died because he knew about Obama. He was going to release some information. Just release it. That's the defense. Just release it. And then if they kill you, then obviously it's because you released something that's true. They're not going to kill you over something that's fake. Stop holding on to it. Because if you're holding on to it and they kill you, they're going to take it off your person and it's going to disappear. Just release it. You're already a target of people that you believe are malicious murderers. I mean, if you think these people are what the UFO community thinks they are, they'll just kill anybody who's involved in it. So if they're going to do that anyway, you might as well just release it and tell the public the truth for once. Again, maybe I'm naive, but I feel like if I was a member of Congress, I just say it. We're just tired of it. We don't need the hoops, you know, to jump through. We don't need the circus. All right. Just Say it. Just say it. Just do it. Just Nike. Maybe Nike will sponsor me to run for Congress. That'll be the official slogan of the U.S. Congress. Just do it. Just release the files. And by files, let's be specific. Do you know if there is extraterrestrial or interdimensional or some kind of Hollywood-esque alien life? Yes or no? What evidence do you have? And the fact is, I don't think the government has any evidence of that at all. I really don't. I think they have things that are implying that. And I think that they have things that they don't understand, which again is congruent with the Robertson Panel report back in 1953. But I don't think that they have. I don't think that they have like evidence of EBEs per se. I could be wrong. Maybe they do. But it seems to be that that's not really the holdup here. The holdup here is technology. The holdup here is corporations. The holdup here is all of that. On the other hand, I'm not sure if that is accurate either, considering that I feel that other countries, if it was widely available information to various intelligence agencies, whether they be in Russia, Israel, the United States, you know, and there, other countries have their own intelligence agencies too. Actually, I just read Japan is starting their own CIA. I think it was like a CIA or I think it's a CIA. Every country has something like this. And there's a lot of countries that just there. I mean, whether it's Spain or Ireland, like they just break with the norms of what is considered acceptable and they condemn Israel and condemn, you know, Jewish supremacy. You'd feel like someone would say the same thing about UFOs and yet it doesn't seem like anybody is. Speaking of that, I just read this article from the Japan Times that said the government's top spokesperson said Monday that Tokyo is analyzing with great interest a trove of previously classified files on alleged UFO sightings released by the Pentagon on Friday of last week, including two videos of unidentified anomalous phenomena spotted near Japan. Regarding the incidents related to our national security, including UAPs, we are constantly gathering and analyzing information with great interest while maintaining close coordination with the United States and other countries. I don't just bring this up because it's a UFO story or because I'm in Japan. I bring it up because I saw a UFO in Japan, and it's, I'd say, the most, for me, credible one I've ever seen. I told the story before. It was very large. It was blacked out, and it was, I mean, blacked out in the sense that it seemed to be not cloaked or something. It just was a very dark object. Was not illuminated, and it did have a light on each one of the parts of the triangular craft. And by my estimation, it was moving south-southwest from where I was, where I saw it. And I can't explain it. I don't know what it was, but I tell you what, I got a weird feeling. I said this on the show where I talked about it too. Was it the year before last? I felt like something was watching me, and that's actually why I looked up to see it anyway. I didn't see it otherwise. I was walking very safe on the streets here, safe and clean, and didn't feel like I was going to get stabbed or mugged or shot, robbed. Set on fire, and I'm just like a peaceful, like I can walk and not have to worry about that. It's wonderful. And I just got this overwhelming sense of dread. And I thought, I for a split moment, is that's like my American instinct coming back, or why do I feel that way? And it's all happened in a matter of seconds. And I look up and, oh boy, that's why I feel that way. That thing is there, whatever that is. So I've seen that. I don't know what it was. I don't think it was the Japanese Defense Force. I don't think it was that. I don't know what it was, but it was big and it was quiet and it was moving and it was not. I don't think it was human. And if it was human, I don't know what it was. So I've seen that. I saw it in Japan. But the thing is, and the point of why I'm bringing this up, specifically the point that I want to focus on, is what I alluded to with Clyde earlier on the show in the first hour, and that is, how does this stuff get discussed in other countries? Is this really as big of a deal as we've made it out to be, or are other countries just not up to date? And I find it hard. Japan's not up to date. I think the only reason that Tokyo's making this statement is because of, you know, the reliance and the relationship with the Americans. That's really, I think, it. And Japan has their own history of this stuff. Utsurobune and the Kanto UFOs or Kanto UFOs. And there's a lot of history of that here in Japan. I've done shows on that. Actually, the Ino UFO Museum, I think the original was set up even before the Roswell museum library. I've been to both. Roswell's a really fun place. I've been, they got all those records. But when I came to Japan, I went to Ino, and Ino has the UFO museum there in the middle of nowhere. And I'm pretty sure it's older than even Roswell is. There was a Japanese soldier. He might've been a pilot, if I remember correctly. He set that place up. I'd have to go back and look in my archive. Actually, I should do that just to give you a point of reference so I don't say something and just move on and you don't know what I'm talking about. Let's see if I can find that in my archive briefly here. Japanese ufology, August. August 28th, 2024. That was when I first came to Japan. Okay, so where is... Japan has three major UFO cases named after regional areas, Kofu, Kochi, and Hokkaido. I thought Kanto was one of, but also Utsurobune, objects spotted over the Daiichi power plant, which is the 2011 disaster. Japan also has a Roswell and a Sedona in regard to UFOs and vortexes. The town is called Inomachi. Two eyes, Inomachi, in Fukushima Prefecture, just outside Fukushima City. It's about an hour from the power plant. Objects and lights have been seen there since at least the 1970s. Just north of the town is the dense forest, which has the Ino UFO Museum, home to documents, replicas, and books on the subject. It's a really wild, trippy museum. Some stuff in there is actually really, really good. It's some stuff's weird and some stuff's really good. Outside is a flying saucer bus stop. Above the museum is Mount Sanganmori. Magnetic anomalies, alien carvings. Okay, here's the part I'm looking for. Few know that the Roswell Research Center and Museum, founded in 1991, was not the first of its kind. Kinichi-san, or Arai-san, Kinichi Arai, a Japanese man formerly in the military who died in 2002, began the first of its kind museum and research facility in 1979. So that's approximately 12 years before the Roswell Research Center went up. Japan had a similar museum and research center. That show is something I should probably, I'm going to download that from the archive and then re-upload it into the archive as a best of, because that was a pretty good show. I did that in a hotel room in Tokyo. Or maybe I was in Fukushima when I did that. I think it was when I got back to Tokyo. Anyway, the point is, Japan has a long history of this. I think the only reason they're addressing this now is because of the relationship they have with the Americans. Chief Cabinet Secretary Minoru Kihara-san told a news conference on Monday this week that they are gathering and analyzing information on the subject. In one nearly two-minute video from 2023 titled DOW UAP PR-47 and reported by the U.S. military's Indo-Pacific Command, citing the incident location as Japan, an infrared sensor aboard a U.S. military platform tracks three distinct areas of contrast, maintaining a fixed position and orientation relative to one another. Another video, this one just 9 seconds long and reported by the Indo-Pacific Command in 2024, with East China Sea as the incident location, shows a UAP that resembles a football-shaped body near Japan, according to a screenshot of the footage. A caption accompanying the video of the incident titled DOW, it's D-O-W, Department Department of War UAP, PR-46, describes the object as having three radial projections, one oriented vertically and two oriented downward at a 45-degree angle relative to the major axis of the main mass. Now, you might remember a couple of years ago, and I might have mentioned this on the Japanese UFO show, in 2024, a group of some 80 Japanese lawmakers was established to investigate and gather information on UAPs, which they consider a serious security issue. The group has heard from U.S. policymakers involved in UAP measures. In March, the group urged the government to create a specialized department devoted to UAPs directly under the Deputy Chief Cabinet Secretary for Crisis Management at the Cabinet Secretariat. I wonder if some of this isn't the QAnon effect. It's a little more serious than the QAnon effect. There is something there. It's well documented in Japan. But I wonder if some of this is the QAnon effect. And what I mean by that is QAnon is a really uniquely U.S. intelligence agency con job. And it's Operation Trust, Operation 100 Flowers, or Project 100 Flowers, 100 Flowers project or program, respectively in China, respectively in Russia and China, under Stalin and Mao, to isolate resistance. And I think that's what QAnon was. But QAnon in Japan, where they don't have a long history of the same type of corruption, like our country thinks that our leaders are drinking blood, eating babies, etc. I don't know if that's ever been anyone in Japan's ever been accused of that in the government. Like, I don't think that's ever been a thing. I mean, maybe some fringe people have, but I don't know if that's really been a thing over here. I mean, it's been a thing throughout European history, but I don't know about over here in Japan if that's been a thing. So anyway, the point is, without the same reasoning why people might believe that, and without the religious angle, it became J-Anon over here, simply because it was kind of popular and cool and trendy. And I wonder if some of the UFO, UAP stuff is like that. If it's just kind of cool and popular and trendy, if it's just to appease Washington, or if it's to, in a sense, capitalize on that. I don't know, but these are just things that are running through my mind when I learn about this, when I hear stories about this. Here's David Grush telling us that the CIA and DIA blocked the UFO files, which, again, they released them, right? And then they're blocked, but it was I have no idea what's going on. It's just Epstein 2.0, which, again, part of that problem is nobody's really specific on what they want with the Epstein files. So what do you mean? You want pictures and videos of the kids being molested? Or a lot of them weren't kids, by the way. A lot of them were like young adults. But like, what exactly do you want? You want the names? They did release a lot of the names. Like, what exactly does the public want?
What you're saying is we are on the cusp of getting a lot more details that deal with actual alien beings, however you're going to describe them.
That's certainly up to the president's team, and I certainly support them. But it has come to my attention, actually, recently as of today, there are some actors within certain intelligence agencies, to include DIA and CIA specifically, that are actually blocking some of the president's presidentially appointed team and getting access and getting control on some of these historical records. So I really expect the Undersecretary of Defense for Intelligence and Security, Bradley Hansel, to take care of that, as some of that's under his cognizance, especially on the national program side, which is directly under his organization, to reveal some of the historical National Security Council records.
I got to say, David Grush is looking good. He's got the beard going. He seems to be tanned. He's got the eye issue solved. He looks like a completely different person. I say that, and then I think, well, people are going to think I'm saying he's a clone. They got rid of the real one. I don't know if I trust David Grush, but I'll tell you what, he's got a lot of things on his wall, a lot of plaques, a lot of like certificates to make it look official. I think I'm just going to print out a bunch of that stuff at the store. I don't have a printer at home, and just like start framing random things to make it look like I've got all these degrees. I mean, maybe he does, but that's a lot of little pieces of paper. I feel like that's for show. It's a set. Anyway, that's just, I mean, it's my opinion. Let's take a listen to, I believe this is Burleson, Eric Burleson. He's another one of the UFO, UAP disclosure, guys. This is on News Nation.
We'll release everything.
I've made it clear that I know of videos. I've already seen some videos that the American people deserve to see. After seeing and investigating this for several years, I still don't know what this is, but I know that there's something out there. So when you see objects that are flying, that are not really actually using normal flight, when they're taking sharp right turns, when they're going from zero to Mach 3, that's not conventional technology, and there's something that is really violating our U.S. airspace, in particular our military airspace. I've seen that footage. I've seen those objects. I've seen photographs of them. Something is up there. I just don't know what it is.
It's kind of funny to interview somebody who's a member of Congress and to ask them that question, and that's the answer you get, and that's really the answer that they all give. There's something there. We don't know what it is. And it just kind of shows you that that's the same answer you've been getting in late night radio for 30, 40 years. It's the same answer that we all have given ourselves, actually. There's something there, we don't know what it is. Even in light of the so-called first batch of files, we don't know what it is. Which, again, is I believe that. I don't think that they know what it is, and that goes back to the report. In 53, they don't know what this thing is. That's why they wanted to infiltrate UFO groups and make fake videos and use it as cover for other things. Also, I don't buy, I heard Luna say it again here in this one clip I played, or Burleson had said it. One of them said it in the clip. The idea of protections for people. And yeah, that might be necessary to some degree, but like, you got to think about this. Time out. Hold on a second. Hold on. I heard Dan Forrest say the same thing. I heard Joe Rogan say the same thing. I just feel like it's probably, you know, that scene in Batman, you know, Lucius Fox played with Morgan Freeman. He's talking to this guy that worked at the Wayne Corporation. And this guy says that he found the blueprints for the Batmobile. And Lucius says, okay, so let me get this straight. You think that your boss, Bruce Wayne, is Batman. You think that he is gallivanting at night as a vigilante. He's beating criminals, you know, almost to death with his bare hands. That's what you think. And your plan is to blackmail this individual? Good luck. I kind of feel like it's a similar thing here. Like, you believe that these people in the intelligence community or in the corporate world have killed and continue to kill indiscriminately over this issue. And you believe that they have potentially hijacked and wrecked the economy and just, I mean, everything with the concealing of this technology, you know, from food, travel, economics in general, social issues, I mean, everything. And your plan is to just give them amnesty? That's what has made me start to think that this is a ploy. You're never going to get anything that's going to confirm what you want to believe, because there's always going to be someone who has a different view on it, including the people that are declassifying things. The only thing that might come out of this is some sweeping blanket amnesty for crimes that we don't even know were committed, like with Fauci, right? Clyde had mentioned that Fauci is actually currently under investigation. I don't know much about that story, but if Fauci is under investigation and you're not really hearing much about that, you know, it calls into question his blanket pardon from the previous administration. I wonder if we won't see something similar. Congress says, okay, look, we're just going to, I don't know how this would work, but we're going to like just unilaterally pardon everybody. Everybody. We don't know who they are, but if you ever worked at Lockheed Martin, if you ever worked at Raytheon, you're just pardoned. For what? We don't know, but just everything. Tell us what you've got. And I think ultimately, they're going to show their hand and, you know, you're going to go all in. They're going to show the hand and they're going to be bluffing. And they're probably not going to have what you think. I'm sure they got some crazy stuff, but it's not going to be, it's not going to be what you think it is. And you're going to wonder, why did I go all in when that's the hand they had? I mean, you didn't know they were bluffing, but why did they go all in? I think that's kind of what this is. I've, again, never heard anybody else say that either. I'm just thinking that I keep hearing that talking point. I don't buy it. I don't buy the amnesty thing. Don't give amnesty to people that you think are murderers and psychopaths and sociopaths and concealing technology that could save millions or billions of lives and transform civilization and help us get to the stars and other planets and leave the Earth and save the environment. And you're going to tell me that you want to just give all these people amnesty for doing that? Are you out of your mind? Are you crazy? Are you more psychotic than they are? That sounds like the dumbest, stupidest idea that I've ever heard in my life. No, we don't just give amnesty to these people. I don't know what kind of spook talking point that is, but Joe Rogan's been pushing it. Dan Farr's been pushing it. Congress has been pushing it. Members of Congress have been. No, not a good idea. There is a great article written by David Whitehouse for The Spectator. It is called "The Only Thing Out There is the UFO Industrial Complex." I'm not going to read you the whole thing, but I want you to go read this article. He starts out by saying, if ever there was an exercise in futility and a demonstration in intentional stupidity, it was the just-dropped UFO files from the U.S. Department of War. And I don't even need to read the rest of the article. I'll pull out a few quotes here, and you should go read it yourself. But in regard to the 2017 New York Times report, where they've rewritten this story of where these UFOs come from, how long they've been reported, Whitehouse writes this, not the Whitehouse, but David Whitehouse writes this. He says, it launched the careers of a new wave of UFO celebrities who fed the growing number of UFO YouTube channels and conferences. There were speaking tours, TV spots, and book deals. They fueled the decades of old suspicion that there is a cover-up, a conspiracy hiding our contact with so-called non-human intelligence and retrieved crashed spaceships. The key word was disclosure. Spielberg caught the zeitgeist, and his new film, Disclosure Day, is out soon. But the new files are a dull selection, many not even new to space historians and watchers of the skies. There's nothing that would remotely lead one to think twice about their implications, but that doesn't matter. That pretty much summarizes the show tonight, I think. That pretty much sums up my assessment of it. And if you want more of that, you can go listen to Stephen Greenstreet. You can listen to this article, David Whitehouse. You can listen to The Secret Teachings. Remember, I saw some weird stuff. I've seen stuff over MacDill Air Force Base. It's a military base, though. I've seen stuff at Area 51. It's Area 51, though, out at Rachel. And I've seen things over here in Japan. And that hasn't told me anything, except there's, I mean, really, the UFO I saw in Japan was the most unidentified alien-esque thing. Because clearly what I saw at Rachel was human. Clearly, I mean, I did see a triangle out there too, but I think it was being flown by humans. I feel like all the stuff that I've seen has a very reasonable explanation. And so if you want identification of these things and the government identifies it, okay, we know what it is. Well, guess what? It's not aliens. And you're going to get upset about that. Some of you are. And if they say it is aliens, it's going to make other people upset. You're never going to satisfy everybody. That's just the bottom line. That's how it works. TSTradio.info, ArtieGable@Yahoo.com. Here's the deal. We are listener supported. We're not just another off the seat, what do they say, you know, by the seat of our pants, you know, thing I sit down and randomly talk about random stuff. This is a well thought out, well produced radio show that's been on the air for 16 years. Now in podcast form. Visit our website, which is in the process of being redone, tstradio.info. Visit the website and check out the archive. It's free if you don't want the advertisements, which, you know, who does? Subscribe to the ad-free version. Get a copy of one of my books. Even my Occult Arcana book has a section on UFO alien archetypes. If you do that, you'll be supporting the show. You can also support us via Cash App and the Buy Me a Coffee link. If you don't see those links, you'll have to go to our website or go to find the archive page. If you're on groundzeroplus.com, thank you for tuning in. Check out the show page or go to our website. If you're on Spreaker, Apple, Spotify, etc., especially Apple, please leave the show a review. This is an official call for you to leave us a review on Apple. I would really appreciate it. Stay safe, stay informed, stay healthy. Thank you for tuning into the show tonight, and I will talk to you on the next broadcast. Bye-bye.